The title of the sermon is Once Lost, Now Found. Once Lost, Now Found. I don't want to read the whole chapter, but it's based on Luke chapter 15. There was a parable of the lost sheep. And in this parable, a shepherd has 100 sheep and loses one of them. And the shepherd goes into danger in the open country to look for that one sheep. After the shepherd finds that lost sheep, he rejoices. He rejoices. And then there's another parable of the lost coin. A woman has 10 silver coin and loses one. The woman light a lamp, searches carefully all over the house to find the one lost coin. And after the woman finds the lost coin, the Bible says she rejoices. And then there's a parable of the lost son. One of the sons take half of the inheritance and leave home. He sets off to a distant country and there squander his wealth and wild living. The son lost everything and there was a famine in the land, and the son decides to head back home. The father, daily would wait and look out for his lost son. When the son comes home, the father ran to him, threw his arm around him and kissed him, gave the son the best robe, a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet, and killed a fattened calf and had a banquet. After the son returned home, the father, the Bible says, rejoices. The father rejoices. Now, what are those parables saying? The parable, I believe, is saying the Lord cares about the forgotten and the lost. Right? The Lord cares about the forgotten and the lost. The Lord also brings out something precious in the forgotten and the lost. You know, David was forgotten in his family. When Samuel came to Jesse's house to anoint the next king of Israel, Jesse, David's father, brought in 7 other brothers and left David in the field. He was forgotten. David was forgotten. But the Lord remembered the boy David. The Lord commanded Samuel to anoint David. You know, Moses, he was one of the most broken men of his time. Why? Because he lost the most. He had everything and lost it in pretty much in one day. He was the prince of Egypt. He had the position, he had power, he had praise, he had money, he had comfort, and he lost it all. He had this desire to set God's people free, but he was rejected by the very people he was trying to save. Moses was trying to do this for the Lord, for God, but it's at that time it seemed like God left him. Fearing his life, he ran away into the wilderness. 40 years he lived in that obscurity. Moses was broken, he was forgotten, and he was lost. But the Bible says God did not forget Moses in the wilderness. God calls him supernaturally through the burning bush. God remembered and found Moses. You know, in the Bible, you see Rahab, Rahab lived in the most sinful city, was a prostitute and a Gentile. Yeah. And in the culture of the Old Testament, all women at that time, right, it was a very sexist culture. At that time, women were left out of the ancient genealogy. Right? Only the Bible do you see women mentioned in the genealogy. Rahab was one of the women mentioned in the genealogy, but not just any. It was the Messiah line. She's mentioned in the Messiah line. What is God proclaiming to the whole world about Rahab? God is saying, I remember her. I see her. I have found Rahab. Someone who has been abused, used, and forgotten. God is saying, I have found her. There's other women in the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah line. Tamar had two terrible, unloving husbands. Seduced by a relative, there was a sexual scandal. Right? There's Ruth, wasn't even a Jew. She was a Moabite, an outcast. Bathsheba had an affair with David. David had her husband murdered. And Tamar, Ruth, and Bathsheba, all these women were in the line of the Messiah. What is God telling them? God is saying to Tamar, Ruth, and Bathsheba, you are in my family. I am working in you. I haven't forgotten you. You are part of the greatest redemption in the history of the world. God is telling them, I have found you. There was a thief crucified next to Jesus in Luke chapter 23. The thief was a hardened criminal suffering the worst punishment imaginable, the crucifixion. He was bitter. The Bible says in the beginning, he was bitter. He was angry. He was going through the greatest fear and pain he ever faced. In that anger and pain, though, he looked at Jesus and he was able to realize that he was the Son of God. The thief pleaded with Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, surely, I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise. Jesus was telling the thief, I'm not going to forget you. You are found. My brothers and sisters, you are valuable to God. You know, being lost is not shameful. You know, something invaluable, if it's not worth something, you don't lose it, you misplaced it. Something valuable, you lost. What do I mean? A toothpick is misplaced, but it's not lost since it's not worth much. You know, your smartphone, you're attached to it. We're all attached to it now, you know. If you lose it and you can't find it, you say you lost it. What happens when you lose something that's precious to you? You get stressed, you get depressed, you get worried. You look everywhere for it because it is valuable to you. Right? You're not going to do that for a toothpick. So you lost it. Toothpick you misplaced. In the art world, when a masterpiece is lost, the value goes up. Right? So when the Bible talks about being spiritually lost, this person is valuable to Jesus. This is why Jesus gave his life for the lost. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God seeked and found you. God saves you because he loves you, because you are valuable to him. John 10:11 says, Jesus says this about himself, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus is the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. When the sheep is in danger, a higher hand, the Bible says, would run away. The good shepherd rescues the sheep. If a wolf scatters the sheep, makes them lost, a good shepherd finds the lost sheep in Luke 15. What does it mean when the shepherd leaves the 99 for the one lost sheep? You know, I thought humanly, you know, I was thinking it was foolish of the shepherd to leave the 99 for the one sheep. Right? Doesn't he care about the 99? That's not the right question. Then I realized that it's not what the Bible's saying, okay? That the 99 is not important. What the Bible is saying is to Jesus, every sheep is important to him. Every sheep is important to him. Because of Jesus, you know, we're not lost anymore. We are found. Say to your neighbor or the screen next to you, you are found. Say that to you are found. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the thing God has prepared for those who love him. You know, when something is lost, though still valuable, you know, it can't reach its potential. Say you could have a $100 bill. Say you lose the $100 bill. Even though lost, it doesn't lose its value, but you can't do anything with it. It is not worthless, but it is wasted. The potential is wasted. If lost, cannot do anything with it. If lost, it loses its potential. God made each one of you to do great things. To do great things, he needed to save you. He needed to find you. When you are saved, you are connected to God. And when you respond by giving yourself to God completely, you will reach your full potential. Only your creator knows what your full potentials are. Only your creator knows what you are capable of. The creator, you know, that created the supercomputer, you know, cost millions and millions of dollars, knows how to bring out the full potential of a supercomputer. If somebody gave me a supercomputer, I would have no idea what to do with it. I will use it for word processor and play solitaire or something like that, you know. The Bible says, again, in Luke 15, a woman turns the whole house upside down to find a coin, you know, in the parable in Luke 15. A coin represents you. Right? When a coin gets lost, it doesn't know it is lost. It needs to be recovered. It needs to be rescued. It needs to be found. A coin is helpless to do anything about it. Something bigger than it needs to find it. Jesus moved heaven and earth to find you. You know, church, what have you lost that needs to be recovered? You know, you might be saying to yourself, I have lost my strength, my joy, maybe my hope, my dream, my innocence, my reputation, my confidence, my destiny, my purpose. Jesus came to rescue us and we recover what we lost. See, in our loss, God is able to do his greatest miracle. You know, we need to believe this as a church. We need to take hold of this truth. God is able to move in power. Right? Let's believe this together. When I feel weak, when I am hopeless, when I'm in pain, you know, when I'm broken, when I'm tired, when I am lost. You know, the parable, what it seems to be saying is when you are lost, God searches for you more. God moves in a more powerful way. God will move the heaven and the earth. You know, we believe God moves when things go well for us, you know, but this is the challenge that I want to throw out to Catalyst. Let's believe God will do a great miracle in our deepest pain and loss. Believe in your deep pain and loss that God is with me. He hasn't forgotten me. God will not pass me by. God is with me in my deepest pain, in my deepest grief, in my loss. God is going to do a miracle in my deep loss. You know, we believe God loves us and he wants to bless us when we are healthy and successful. We have faith when we feel strong, but when we are weak, we lose our faith when we experience loss. It is in the valley you need to practice faith, especially in such a time as this. God doesn't just move, you know, in Toronto or Kansas City or, you know, when there was a revival in Florida. God We need to believe this together. Let's believe this together. God is here in Teterboro, in Leonia, in Little Ferry, in Paramus, in Tenafly, in Closter. But let's have greater faith. God is in your home. Yeah. Say to the people around you and the screen next to you, yeah, God is here. I say, God is here. Not just here, God is with you day to day, yeah, moment to moment. God is with you when you feel all alone, when your heart is broken, when you are hurting, when you're grieving your loss. This is the time God will do the greatest miracle in you. There's no change without pain. And we're going through a very painful time. So God's going to do his greatest miracle. You know, Luke 15, 20, while the Bible says, while he was still a long way off, meaning while the son was still lost, okay, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arm around him, and kissed him. You know, the father couldn't do much when the son was going the opposite way, away from the father. But when the son, he's still lost, but was coming toward the father, what did the father do? He ran towards him. The father recognized him, knew him, even though he was broken and unrecognizable. You know, some of you, you feel a long way off, you know. But the father wants to run to you right now. The father threw his arm around him and continues to kiss him, put the best robe, a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet. The father gave a party, celebration because the son came back home. God, the father, even though you are far way off, remembers you, loves you, chase after and run after you. Meaning, this is what I want to proclaim today as a church. God found me. I am found. Church, you are found. And the church said, amen.